Something wicked is coming this way, and only fools are ignoring the signs. So it's time you became a financial prepper like thousands of others. Gold can travel anywhere. It's international. It's its own currency. Allocate to gold now, the timeless safe haven asset. Open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments to physically hold coins and bars, and let real, tangible gold, not just paper, save your portfolio as the economy burns again. Right now, Noble Gold Investments offers a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin with every qualified IRA. Just use the promo code GOLD to claim your free coin and secure your family's financial future. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com now. NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. I hope you guys are having a lovely day. Well, it's Tuesday, May 1st, 2024. I want you to think back to 3 years ago, where you were May 1st, 2021. Just a couple of months into the Biden regime, and so many people telling me that America was done for. We'll never make it to 2024, they said. Well, guess what? You're here. God has provided. And we stand poised on the brink of bringing our country back from the depths of destruction. President Trump back on the campaign trail, making some very important stops. We're going to talk about that. We've got new data from the Center for Immigration Studies on the migrant routes, Joe Biden's covert flights into cities all around the country, and yet another state taking my advice, following Texas's lead and taking immigration enforcement into its own hands. We've got a couple doing that now. We just got to get the rest of them on board. So, do me a favor, hit that like, share the show, sit back, relax, grab your popcorn, and we're going to be right back in just a moment. So, just like groceries and gas, your energy bills are expected to keep hitting record highs in the coming months. And despite the fact that most Americans are behind on their utility bills, costs continue to rise by as much as 60% compared to previous years. It's gotten to a point where it's so bad there are some power companies that have a shocking $13 million in uncollected bills because the average person simply cannot afford the price of today's electricity. And the costs show no signs of slowing down. This is why tens of thousands of people are starting to use this magical little device to help slash their power bills and beat the greedy utility companies. The device is a compact, energy-saving device that helps reduce energy bills and optimizes a home's power usage. It's designed to stop your home from wasting unnecessary energy, reduce your home's electricity usage, extend the lifespan of appliances, ensure a consistent and safe flow of electricity to your home, and so much more. Simply plug it into the wall outlet and the cost savings begin. The first month alone is going to pay for the device itself. You can experience this incredible cost savings device at an exclusive 65% off by going to don'twastepower.com. Plus, you're going to get a risk-free, full 60-day trial through their safe and secure website. Don't miss out on this incredible offer to save 65% off and get free shipping today at don'twastepower.com. Once again, that's don'twastepower.com, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome back. As always, my name is Zach Payne, the Corruption Detector. You are watching Red Pill 78. You're listening to Red Pill News on that channel. And I'm so happy to invite you all here to share this incredible day with me. And it's actually Wednesday, I was reminded in the chat, because I've been totally off since I came back from GART. You know, yesterday I looked at the thumbnail for the card, and I had said that it was the 29th of April, but it was actually the 30th, and now here it is. It's May 1st. And so much is going on. All right, you guys. So I wanted to begin today actually by sharing something with you that, hold on, oh my gosh, my phone was sitting on my brightness adjustment on my keyboard, and I was like, why is that so bright? It's burning my eyes. All right, so a viewer of the program reached out to share a story with me. A friend of his, a coworker. His son, Langdon, is essentially facing some really, really difficult medical problems. Langdon was born with a couple of things wrong with his kidneys and with his liver, and he currently is still in need of two living donors. Langdon, when he was born, they found out that his kidneys were three times the size of a normal kidney, both of them. They both were full of cysts. His liver was also enlarged. It was also full of cysts in a certain quadrant. And he was also born with autorecessive polycystic kidney disease. So here is young Langdon. He's a sweet little patriot. He's a very, very brave little boy. I believe he's 8 years old right now. And this is him with his mom and his dad. Now, I wanted to share this with everybody because, you know, I know that you guys, if you are in a position to help out, you will go ahead and help out. But I wanted to share with you that this is somebody who actually is connected to the program. It's not just some random person that I saw out there and they're saying that their kid is sick so they can raise money. They are raising money, but more importantly, they're looking for living donors, people who can actually help out Langdon and ensure his survival. So I wanted to go ahead and share this with you. You may not be somebody who's in a position to help, but maybe you know somebody who is in a position. And maybe, you know, you might be a match. Maybe you might be a donor match for him. So you might be able to help out in that way. I know it's a lot to ask for somebody to donate a kidney or a piece of their liver to somebody that they don't even know. But you never know what God is going to move you to do in a situation like this. So I just wanted to share this out. And at the very least, you guys, I wanted to ask you to pray for Langdon. Okay. Pray for him. Pray for his parents. His parents, I can only imagine what they're going through. Obviously, as a father myself, I think anyone who's a parent is going to know the sort of fear and pain and heartache that comes along with having a child that's sick in any sense of the word. But you know, what really struck me when I watched this video about Langdon, when I looked at his story, is that, you know, despite the fact of everything that he's gone through, despite the fact of everything that he's been burdened with, he just is one of the happiest kids you're going to see. All right. He's full of joy. He's full of love. He's full of life. And I hope that Langdon is able to get the assistance that he needs. And if it's as a result of sharing it with you guys on this show, whether it's one of you guys or you know somebody who can help, then I will just feel like I can die a happy man, to be quite honest with you. So I wanted to share that with you. Thank you very much, you guys, for even considering it. If you didn't get it during the show or you're listening to the audio podcast, you can find the link to Langdon's website with his story and information about him and his family and the problems that he's facing. You can find that on my Telegram. You can find that on my Truth Social. And you can, of course, find it also on X, formerly Twitter. So thank you very much for considering potentially being able to support Langdon. I think that he's well worth at least having him in your prayers. All right, so let's get right into the news, you guys. So, I wanted to mention something because Debbie had sent a message. No matter where you are, guys, if you're watching on Rumble and you feel comfortable donating on Rumble, I'm not going to tell you not to donate on Rumble. If you're watching on the Foxhole and you're donating on the Foxhole, then I'm not going to stop you from donating on Pilled. If it's my website, if it's Ko-Fi, if it's on Cash App, wherever it is. If you feel moved to support my work in one way or another that works best for you, then thank you, thank you, thank you. And I just wanted to say, making sure that everybody is aware of that. Now, Debbie had made me aware that on the Rumble app, if you're on like the iPhone or Android and you donate through the Rumble app, then they're going to be taking like a significant chunk of your donation. So if you want your donation to go farther and it's not too much trouble, you can go to the web app of Rumble, which is just going to rumble.com and then finding my stream, and you can donate through there, or you can go through your computer. So I just wanted to get that out of the way, but I just also didn't want to dissuade anyone from giving in whatever way they felt moved to. So as long as you are okay with that, as long as you know, then I'm fine, and I want you to know that every single dollar you donate to the show directly impacts my ability to continue doing it for you 6 days a week, and sometimes even more, and I just wanted to make sure that you guys all are aware of how much I appreciate it. All right, so we had spoken about these secret flights just about a week ago or so, because it came out that roughly 80% of the illegals that Biden was flying into the country were going to Florida. That's right, 80% of those illegal flights came down here to Florida. And that made a lot of sense to me when I started thinking about the sort of makeup of the social fabric I saw when I would go out to go shopping, and specifically at Walmart. I couldn't believe it. It was just, the place was overrun. There were so many people there, and so many of them did not speak English. I felt like I was a stranger in my own town. And so it's really not all that surprising if you understand what the Biden regime wants to do. They are looking to fundamentally alter the makeup of American society, and doing it by replacing Americans with illegals coming from other nations. They don't care whether they're Hispanic or they're black or they're Asian. It doesn't matter. As long as they're illegal, as long as those illegals are going to feel that they owe Joe Biden something, then when they get here and they figure out how they're going to vote and then help cheat in the election, they're probably going to vote for Joe Biden. And there's just no way around that. This also ties into something that I constantly make pleas with you guys to do, is to be involved in your precinct so that you can work at the election, because we need patriots of all sizes, stripes, and colors to be working there on election day so that you're present. Because I'm going to be really honest with you guys, you watching this show right now, your minds are attuned to witness fraud when you see it. If you see someone coming in that, you know, that perhaps they give you information and you can't track it, or, you know, they don't speak any English, but they're a registered voter, you know, that just doesn't happen. People don't become American citizens and not learn how to speak English. You're going to be more tuned into the idea of what to look for and perhaps what to challenge. And so that's why I want you to be there on election day to help ensure that our election is delivered in as fair and free a status as possible. I know I am not naive. I know that there was absolutely zero possibility we're going to have a totally free and fair election in November. But I think that we have an advantage, especially after what we saw in 2020, what we witnessed in 2022, and what we've been watching happening since Biden basically moved into the White House. We know they're going to cheat. We know they're going to try to cheat. We've talked about freaking dozens of different ways that they're most likely going to use what they've done to America to their advantage. And I want you to help us stop it from being successful. So here they have flown 80% of these migrants down to Florida. Why is that? They want to change Florida from a predominantly red state to a blue state if they can, and to a purple state at least. And by flying these hundreds of thousands of illegals into the state of Florida, setting them up with the resources they need to just, you know, bury their heads into the ground like a tick in the back of your ass, they're hoping that they're going to be successful. I'm also hoping that our local sheriffs are going to do their job and take a page from the book of Texas and another state that we're going to talk about later. We don't need to wait for the Biden regime to come on in here with ICE and to start hauling people off and deporting them. You know, we can start doing this ourselves. And when I say us, I mean like the government of Florida, the government of whatever state you're living in. The other 20% were sent to Texas. Now, Texas is a huge state. It's a little bit easier to hide people there. But it is closer now to a purple state than it was in years past. And if they move all of those illegals into a large metropolitan area, then it's just going to strengthen their hold on that metropolitan area. So we now have a little bit more data about exactly which cities throughout the country these illegals are being sent to, and then also which countries they're likely to be coming from. So there's this particular program that was put into place under Joe Biden, and it's obviously being run through the DHS, Department of Homeland Security, which, you know, should tell you everything you need to know about why Alejandro Mayorkas has not wanted to do his job. But this plan was officially unveiled back in January of 2023, and ostensibly its public reasoning was to provide safe and orderly pathways to the United States for up to 30,000 individuals per month coming from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. It's called the CHNV program, and it's short for Processes for Cubans, Haitians, Nicaraguans, and Venezuelans. What it does is it grants eligible people from these nations who have a sponsor here in the United States, and they can pass a background check, that's allegedly what they say, to get the opportunity to live and work in the U.S. for under 2 years with a humanitarian parole status. So, having spoken about this before, we know that the Biden regime was, you know, illicitly flying in charter flights of illegal migrants from all over the world to airports in a variety of different U.S. cities. And this operation, I believe, was outside of the CHNV program that they're specifically mentioning here, because DHS was actually counting for CHNV. So we have a little bit of knowledge about that one. But it's quite clear, you know, based upon the traffic patterns, based upon the attitude that people ran into when discovering these essentially migrant camps inside airports around the country, that there's nothing legal about this. This is part of that illicit program. So the Center for Immigration Studies, we've talked about them before. They're a think tank that is focusing on developing and advocating for tighter immigration controls here in the United States. It's something that we desperately need. So they were the ones who really blew the lid off of these obscure flights and all of these hundreds of thousands of illegals that have been flown into at least 43 different airports throughout the United States. Now, we've gotten some of these figures before, but in a recent Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, lawyers for the Customs and Border Patrol had actually refused to reveal any specific details about this program. They're citing national security vulnerabilities. Let me ask you a question. How are they going to justify keeping information from the American citizens about their own efforts to undermine national security? I mean, that is the vulnerability for national security right there. They're flying illegals into the country. They're stacking the deck in red states, and they're forcing them upon the citizens of those states. Here in Florida, we've got something like $110 million in unpaid medical bills. Who's not paying them? Well, it's the illegals. That's who. They are putting a tremendous burden on our healthcare system here, not just in Florida, but it's happening all over the country. So during the course of this lawsuit, the Biden admin had said first they're not going to reveal which airports they were sending these illegals to. They said that this, well, we have a law enforcement exception. So as a result, we don't have to hand over any information to you at all. But now in the new information that the Center for Immigration Studies has been able to tease out, we did, in fact, get all the locations. We learned that not all of the locations were revealed, even though we got some of them. And that they believe that if they tell the American people which airports they're sending the illegals to, they claim that bad actors are going to show up. It's going to be a public safety hazard. So when they say it's a national security vulnerability, they're quite literally saying that you are the national security vulnerability, that your propensity to show up and protest an illegal action by your own government, that is a threat to national security. Wow. I mean, I'm not surprised to learn it. It sounds like it tracks absolutely right with what everything else they've been doing thus far. But the lawyers for Customs and Border Patrol had said that these airports, if they told you which ones, it would reveal information about the relative number of individuals arriving. Well, no shit, Sherlock. That's exactly what we're trying to figure out. We want to know how many illegals you're bringing into the country. We want to know which airports you're bringing them into so that we can speak to our local elected officials bills and talk about getting it stopped. Now, if you're also bringing them into an airport and the airport itself is sponsoring that or helping it in any way, I think they deserve to be protested. They deserve to be picketed. They deserve to have our voices in their faces so that we can tell them what we think about their illegal attempts to unravel American society and remake the fabric of the American landscape. So the term operational vulnerabilities is referring to the idea that we would exploit the knowledge of these airports, that we would be the bad actors, that we would force a change in a pattern of conduct on behalf of the lawless Biden administration, that they might have to do something totally different, or maybe they would even have to take countermeasures and not fly these illegals into the country at all. Well, all of these things are obviously what I'm hoping are going to happen. I hope that Americans protest this. I hope that they stand up, call their elected officials, whether it's federal, state, or local, and tell those people, you simply cannot allow this to happen any longer. These are not newcomers. These are not refugees. These are illegal aliens who are being shipped in by our own federal government that refuses to address the security vulnerabilities that they themselves are creating. Jim Kyle says, great way to smuggle drugs. Absolutely, because they don't have to go through TSA. They don't even have to have IDs, Jim. All they have to do is show up, and they get a free ticket. Anywhere you want to, Sam. Let me also say thank you to Just Duckies, who says, much love and God bless. Much love to you, my friend. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Nikki the Greek, thank you as well. Philby Me says, prayers for Langdon. Thank you so much, Philby. Also, Allison N., thank you for the phone. I appreciate you. You guys, do me a favor. If you're just arriving or if you've just gotten here in the last couple of minutes, please hit the like button. Help us out by sharing the show. We've already got two haters out there who have hit the unlike button. Let's take a look at this lawsuit. We've actually got 21 Republican-led states. Texas is leading the charge, and they're suing the Biden regime because they allege that the DHS has implemented a new visa program under the guise of preventing unlawful border crossings between ports of entry, which is what has allowed 360,000 or more individuals coming from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela to essentially be paroled into the United States for 2 years or more. So that means that they are illegal, but they're letting them in and they're giving them some legal status so that they can get work authorization. And once they get that work authorization, do you think that they're going to also be allowed to get a driver's license, which in turn may allow them to go ahead and vote however they want to? That very likely may happen. But the thing is, by Biden doing it this way, he is actually bypassing congressional legislation, essentially taking more power than the executive branch is meant to have and completely upsetting that balance that is supposed to be in existence. Now, the DHS's parole authority is already highly restricted by Congress. There's only a couple of reasons they're supposed to be able to use it. It's intended for use only in urgent humanitarian crises or if there is a significant public benefit on a case-by-case basis. But obviously, we're not talking about major humanitarian issues. We're not talking about any sort of public benefit. This is to the public detriment. And they're not even looking on a case-by-case basis. They're just mass bringing in tens of thousands of them all at once. In this new parole program, it enables advance authorization for entry into the United States with absolutely no legal precedent in place. They basically do it by line from afar, and then they get here and they just set them free. Now, the parole program that already exists does not comply with the legal requirements of being case specific. Again, it is en masse. It's not addressing any humanitarian needs. It provides no significant public benefit. It essentially creates a brand new visa program for the hundreds of thousands of illegals that enter into the United States with no legal right, and it contradicts existing congressional mandates. This is fully against the law. Maybe you should call your congressman as well and talk to them about the fact that this is going on. Maybe they're not going to do anything about it and it's going to need to be taken care of in the courts. But at least it's beginning to be addressed. Now, when the DHS actually created this unauthorized program, they neglected to follow a prior recognized requirement to notice and comment on the rulesmaking process under the Administrative Procedures Act. You remember the ATF's pistol brace rule change? They had to publish that rule. First, they had to, like, craft it. They had to announce it to the public. Then they had to publish it in the Federal Record. And then there was a commentary period where people like me would talk about it, tell you to go comment on it. And as a result of it, the ATF adjusted it a little bit. But eventually they just put it on the books, and there it is. But they went through the appropriate steps to make sure that people were aware, so that it wasn't like we just woke up one morning and everybody's pistol braces were suddenly illegal. Although I know it felt like that. There was a period of time where people had the option to go ahead and get it fixed. So, in this respect, they have completely gone around that rulemaking and comment notification process. And instead, they have just gone for a unilateral action to admit all of these people without any sort of legal process or rights. The states that are suing the Biden regime, that's going to be Texas, Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, Florida, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Ohio, South Carolina, Tennessee, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. Every single one of them are claiming that we have all endured substantial and irreparable harm as a result of the misuse of the system by DHS. Their brand new illegal parole authority, which leads to a mixture of influx of hundreds of thousands of illegals that really should not be here at all, obviously putting a significant drain on the resources of each of those states. And because the DHS is accused of lacking the authority to admit over nearly a third of a million illegal aliens into the U.S. As they do by this program, this is why they're being sued. So they are urging the court to prohibit and officially declare illegal, and then additionally nullify the unauthorized parole program as being implemented by the Department of Homeland Security. Now, I just want to remind you, you know, not only did they do this in the cover of night, but they didn't want us to know about it at all. They didn't want us to have any sort of information about it. And it was something that we, the people, had to sort of pry and tease out of the United States government to figure out exactly what was going on. And God bless Ken Paxton, okay? I mean, I wish Ken Paxton was my attorney general. This guy does a great job. He's out there on the front lines. All of the other states that are in there, but it seems like Texas is always leading the charge. And we got to make sure that we continue to elect strong leaders exactly like that. Now, here's the thing. The U.S. District Court judge, Drew Tipton, who was the one who had the case presented to him, he rejected the lawsuit initially on the grounds that the states failed to demonstrate any direct injury caused by the program. I just told you that we have $110 million in unpaid medical bills here in Florida that are all due to illegal aliens brought into the country by Joe Biden. This is a slap in the face. Now, I'm certain that this lawsuit is going to be revised and brought back some other form or another. But in the meantime, let's go ahead and take a look at some of the breakdowns. Let's see. This is from January to August of 2023. If we're looking at Florida alone, Florida cities alone. Oh, JR. I'm live, JR. All right. So we've got big cities that they're hitting in the same way that they are trying to fill up big Democrat-run centers around the country. Miami, Florida. Okay, obviously, Miami is, I mean, it's a fairly liberal area. You had 91,821 illegals flown in the first 8 months of 2023. Fort Lauderdale, about 60,000. New York City, only 15,000, which is funny because then Ron DeSantis has put them on buses and sent them up to Florida anyways. Houston, only 7,900. Orlando, 6,000. Los Angeles, about 3,200. Tampa, 3,200. Dallas, 2,200. San Francisco, only 2,000. And then Atlanta, Georgia, only 1,800. So this is an ongoing problem, and it just continues to get worse. Clearly, the numbers that we're going to be receiving are going to be backdated a little bit. They're not going to be current, up-to-date to what we have now. When that breaks down to a total number, it looks like The CBP data shows that there are just over 400,000 illegals that have entered the U.S. through this program. It's about 154,000 Haitians. Let's be honest, there actually is a humanitarian crisis in Haiti, so I don't care about that one as much. 95,000 Venezuelans, 84,000 Cubans, and 69,000 Nicaraguans. So it just keeps getting worse. Now, I'm hoping that we're going to see this addressed in the very near future. And again, I urge you to call the people who represent you. Oh, gosh, look at this. We got new information related to Judge Eileen Cannon. We're going to set this on the back burner because I got a couple more immigration stories I want to go over right quick. I mentioned that there is another state that, like Texas, is taking immigration enforcement into its own hands. That is the state of Oklahoma. Do we have any Oklahoma residents out here in the chat? We are seventh on the leaderboard. Well, let's see if we can get higher, guys. We've got 2,300 people here and 352 likes. Do me a favor. Hit the likes. Also, thank you very, very much to Esther G, who says, appreciate you, Zach. I appreciate you as well, Esther. And then Loop de Loop for dropping a can. Appreciate you guys as well. All right. Maybe we don't have any Oklahoma residents in the chat. I'm looking for Oklahoma residents, and I don't see anybody commenting. Barbecue Guy 75. He is an Okie right there. We got Starwalker from Wichita. All right. Well, so there is a Republican governor in Oklahoma, and he's announced that he is not going to stand by and allow the Biden regime to destroy his state. And so now, just in the same way Texas has, they're going to be taking on the actual day-to-day operations for deportations and rounding up these illegals. So that is good news. And as I've said before, unfortunately, the federal government abdicating its authority to handle the security of our border gives our states an opportunity. That's a good thing. That's obviously a big win for those states. So I'm hoping now that we're going to see this happen at an ever-increasing pace. I predict, quite honestly, that we will, because I think it's going to become necessary between now and November, especially as people start to realize that these illegals that are showing up in their states en masse as a result of this parole program by the Biden DHS, it's going to become necessary to ensure that those people are not standing in the ballot lines come November because they've been given a driver's license so they can get a job. Yes, legal expenses too. Legal expenses, they're paying their rent, they're buying them food, they're buying them clothes, they're putting them through job training. It's freaking ridiculous. They're going to bankrupt us. I mean, we're already bankrupt. I mean, you know, it's like I always think about the good and the bad that comes with it. Will it bring about the collapse of the deep state quicker? I believe so. But I still think I'm supposed to be pissed off about it. I still think that we need to raise our hands in ire. Like, stop this. What are you doing? All right, so Judge Eileen Cannon, I got to be honest with you guys. I love Eileen Cannon. I think she's been great. She's just been incredible the entire time. Like, she doesn't seem to be taking the BS from Jack Smith and his prosecutors. She's been the only one so far who has been unsealing documents. She's been the only one giving any rulings favorable to Donald Trump. She just seems to be a very fair judge and an intelligent woman. I gotta say, I love it. So, we just got word as I was on the air that Eileen Cannon is preparing to unseal additional information. This is information related to Obama judge's order piercing through President Trump's attorney-client privilege in the classified document case. Let me just say this. It is wholly abnormal for a Department of Justice or any sort of prosecutor to force an attorney to testify against their client. That's simply just something that does not happen. So, Eileen Cannon is going to be releasing this information related to Judge Beryl Howell's order that allowed for President Trump's attorney, to break that attorney-client privilege and to speak out against him. So Jack Smith used a grand jury, and the radical Marxist D.C. Obama-appointed judge Beryl Howell in that classified documents case before quietly shuffling it down to Florida, where he had to file the charges. Now, this is not the first time that Judge Beryl Howell has given rulings which seem to be outside of the boundaries of what's normal. And she had previously ordered that President Trump's lawyer, Evan Corcoran, must testify before that grand jury in the special counsel's investigation in regard to the classified documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago. I'm not going to say President Trump stored them there, because we just learned this past weekend that it was actually a setup by the Biden regime. And if you're not familiar with the backstory on that, I encourage you to go back a couple of days and watch the episode from then. So Judge Howell flipped President Trump's own attorney against him, turned him into a witness, because she said, hey, you know what? You are not allowed to claim attorney-client privilege. You're just going to have to talk about everything that you and President Trump spoke with each other about. And at the last minute, Jack Smith impaneled that grand jury in Miami so that he could then indict President Trump down here. He had been using the grand jury in D.C. initially. And then out of nowhere, we got this Florida grand jury. He indicts Trump. And now we've got these 37 federal counts in Miami. Now, this hasn't happened yet. We don't have any of the paperwork yet, but you can bet as soon as we do, I'm going to be bringing it to you guys here. Now, in regards to his New York case, yesterday it was announced by House Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan in a letter that was sent to Attorney General Merrick Garland regarding former DOJ U.S. Attorney and now current lead prosecutor in the Manhattan case, Matthew Colangelo. He sent him a letter requesting documents and any communications from the time that Colangelo was at the Justice Department. So here we actually have a copy of the letter. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. Where is it? Ah, here we are. All right. So the Committee on the Judiciary is conducting oversight of politically motivated prosecutions by state and local officials. Since last year, popularly elected prosecutors who campaigned for office on the promise of prosecuting President Trump engaged in an unprecedented abuse of prosecutorial authority. The indictment of a former president of the United States and current leading candidate for that office. Now, New York's county attorney, district attorney, Alvin Bragg, is engaged in one such politicized persecution, which is being led in part by one Matthew D. Colangelo, who was a former senior Justice Department official. Given the perception that the Justice Department is assisting in Bragg's politicized prosecution, we write to request information and documents related to Mr. Colangelo's employment. So during this recent stint at the New York County District Attorney's Office, Matthew Colangelo took a demotion. He took a drop in pay. They want to know exactly how he ended up leaving the Justice Department. Is it possible he was ordered to leave the Justice Department and go work in New York and then still maintain communications with Merrick Garland and other people perhaps at the DOJ? Now, they also want to know about any sort of communications that he had before he left. They want to know about any communications he's had since he left, and that includes with everybody in Washington and everybody in New York as well. He is specifically requesting all documents and communications between January 2021 and December 2022 between Colangelo and any employee, agent, or representative of that New York County District Attorney's Office, also the Fulton County District Attorney's Office, the New York Attorney General's Office, or the Department of Justice's Special Counsel's Office when it refers to President Trump or the Trump administration, or excuse me, the Trump organization. He also wants any communications about any entity that was owned, controlled, or associated with Donald Trump. They also need his personnel files. They want to know, why it was that he left, what happened when he was hired, what was written in his file, any documents or communications between the Justice Department itself and Alvin Bragg's office, specifically relating to President Trump, any of the documents referring to Michael Cohen's conviction, any documents and communications referring to Michael Cohen's other conviction, and they want this as soon as possible or no later than 5 p.m. on May 14th. He also reminds the DOJ and Merrick Garland, because it seems like these suckas done forgot, the Supreme Court has recognized that Congress has a broad and indispensable power to conduct oversight, which encompasses inquiries into the administration of existing laws, studies of proposed laws, and surveys in our social, economic, or political system for the purposes of enabling Congress to remedy them. And pursuant to the rules of the House of Representatives, this committee is authorized to conduct oversight of the Justice Department, and that includes with respect to the department's use of resources to initiate or assist in the initiation of politically motivated prosecutions of a former president and current frontrunner for that office to inform potential legislative reforms. So this is undoubtedly leading to a much larger investigation. Now, what the end result of that is going to be, that's anyone's guess. My hope, of course, would be for massive reform at the Department of Justice and some sort of exposure on how this is, in fact, being directed and run from Washington, D.C. through Matthew Colangelo into these various offices all around the country. I think that all roads lead back to Joe Biden and to Merrick Garland and the Federal Department of Justice. All right, guys. Let me also say thank you to Porpoiseful for the cookie. I appreciate you. TZ Burton, I was actually thinking about this. If they are Cuban, then they're already going to vote Republican. Cubans are conservative. And they've also escaped communism. The Hispanics that are married and are not criminals, they're also likely to vote Republican. But the lawless, like MS-13 types, if they can vote, they'll probably end up voting for Joe Biden. And I don't know where Nicaraguans are still Hispanic, so I suppose that they would fall within that demographic. And the Haitians, I mean, they hate Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton's a Democrat, and Joe Biden loves her. So at the end of the day, it could go either way. I'm actually very excited to see which, because I think it would be so just and ironic if Joe Biden flew all these illegals into the country. Those illegals end up voting Republican because they know that the destruction of America is going to mean that they're not going to want to be here anymore, and there's no place else for them to go. All right, so hold on. Oh God, I got a piece of my camera under my desk here. All right. So today was a day off from the New York hush money trial for President Trump. No hearings today in Manhattan. So that gives him the opportunity to get back out on the campaign trail. He had a couple of, key rallies that were scheduled, at 3 o'clock, he was scheduled to speak in, Wisconsin. And then at 6 o'clock, he's scheduled to speak in Michigan. And in both of those states, those are key swing states. President Trump, I believe that he's going to carry them because the citizens of those states are just about fed up with the corrupt leadership that they have in their governments. And obviously, President Trump has been saying that he needs to get back out there on the campaign trail. He also said that, when I get to campaign again, Joe Biden will probably stay in his basement. I don't know where Joe Biden is today. Maybe you guys know if he called the lid or something like that. But Jim Kyle says if Cubans are illegal, they will vote Democrat. Well, coming in from this particular program, they're technically here legally. Now, if they swam ashore, like they stole a skiff and then made it to Florida and, like ran up on the beach in Miami in the middle of the night, those ones will probably vote illegally. But the ones who made an effort to be here as refugees, those guys are voting as Republicans. And I know because, I know Cubans. All right. And they all tell me the same thing. When you go to like Little Havana, in southern Florida, and there's a couple of them, but let's say you go to Tampa and there's Little Havana, everybody there, they love Donald Trump. All right. So, in regards to President Trump's New York case, I was thinking about this yesterday, and I might have mentioned this on the show. I know I talked about it with Jason later, but, you know, it's a really interesting scenario because Michael Cohen is the star witness, and Michael Cohen was President Trump's attorney. And Michael Cohen, as his attorney, would have advised him to pay off Stormy Daniels. In fact, I think he's already said that previously. So Michael Cohen also is a convicted perjurer on a number of occasions. And there is also the possibility that President Trump, I think he's already said this, that he had no idea that these payments were made to Stormy Daniels. And so he can make the argument that Michael Cohen was just, he was acting in a rogue manner. He didn't have the mandate from President Trump to pay anybody. So he's actually the one who's wronged here, because Michael Cohen used President Trump's money to pay a porn star to hush her up. Michael Cohen has also, I think I talked about this the other day as well. We mentioned this a couple of weeks ago that I think it was Michael Avenatti who said that Cohen and Daniels were the ones who were actually having the affair, and that it was them scheming to get the hush money out of President Trump. Michael Cohen sued because of that, and he actually won, and so that had to be retracted. I want to say it was OAN or Newsmax that had to say that that didn't happen. I don't know that that happened. You know, allegedly, not in my opinion, Michael Cohen and Stormy Daniels are said to have had an affair and then set it up so that they could siphon money out of President Trump. Allegedly, not in my opinion. I'm just saying what somebody else said. Freight Awakening says, not sure if you plan on covering it, but the new O'Keefe drop is fire. I had not, but considering it's a relatively slow news day, why don't we go ahead and head on over to Twitter, and we'll watch that in just a moment. Let me see. James O'Keefe. Is this the CIA one? Inside the CIA. Oh, this is good. Yeah, we'll talk about this in a moment. So anyway, CNN, they're actually talking about this. And let me just see what they say. I feel like they understand that President Trump is going to be okay with all this. Got to wait for the commercial.
For anyone struggling with sciatic nerve pain, do not drink this type of...
These commercials, man.
Brand new research reveals...
It's like, look at this girl in tight pants. That's all it is.
Joining me right now is CNN legal analyst Joey Jackson and criminal defense attorney Bill Brennan. He represented Donald Trump in his payroll, Donald Trump's payroll corporation in a 2022 case. It's great to see you guys. Thank you for being here. Joey, let's first go inside the courtroom and what kind of played out yesterday.
Nah, you know what? I can't do it. I can't listen to her voice. Here's my ultimate point. I think that Michael Cohen is a bad witness. And I think that when he gets put on the stand, he's going to get eviscerated. And I think that there is a strong possibility that based upon the makeup of the jury, it's likely to be a hung jury. That I don't think it's going to be an outright conviction. I don't think that they will be able to convict President Trump based upon the evidence that they have. Now, of course, Judge Marchand is working diligently to make sure that Donald Trump is not able to mount a sufficient defense. And that certainly would be a bone of contention when it comes back around for an appeal if there is any kind of conviction. But I'm also hoping that the Supreme Court is just going to come back with their ruling about presidential immunity, given certain sets of circumstances, and all of these trials are going to be, you know, feckless and moot at the end of the day. The other stop that I wanted to talk about President Trump making is that he's also going to be meeting with representatives of the Libertarian Party, which is definitely not something that Republican presidential candidates do. Now, there is a lot of overlap between Republicans and Libertarians. And for a while there, you know, I was a registered Libertarian, and I registered as a Republican when President Trump announced that he was going to be running for president. But they announced earlier today that President Trump is actually going to be coming to their convention. This is the very first time that a former president would actually come and not only show up, but give an address to the members of the Libertarian Party and all of their candidates and all of their executive committee. So if you think about the power that this potential move could have on the outcome of the election in November, I think it's very easy that Donald Trump would be able to make the argument that, you know, we need to join forces with the Libertarian Party. They need to support me in the election so that we can get rid of Joe Biden and we can overcome all of these problems. And then, hey, you know, I will do things that you love. I'm also going to do things that you probably won't really care for. But it's a lot better than having a Democrat in there. And it's certainly a lot better than having RFK Jr. in there. So the people who are going to be there have to register to attend the convention. And then they're actually going to be able to cast their vote to decide which topics President Trump is going to talk about, which means that they're going to ask him his positions on certain things, and they want to see how he's going to answer. This is truly an unprecedented move, and it is very, very intelligent on behalf of President Trump, because, as I said, there are a lot of different layers of overlap when it comes to libertarians and Republicans. And I think that President Trump could do a really, really good job of winning over a lot of these people to vote for him. Now, Brian McWilliams is the communications director for the Libertarian Party. And this is the first time in history, not only that a former president has come to address the Libertarian Party, this is also the first time in history that a first party presidential candidate has come to address the Libertarian Party's convention. You know, you look at these political outfits in other countries, like, you know, go to any European nation. Go to any European nation and you've got more than two parties that are like actual players in the elections, and they form coalitions. You'll have different groups of people who are part of, you know, one party, part of another party, part of another party. And, you know, they'll be generally sort of conservative on one side, or they will be generally sort of populist. And then you've got these like radical left-wing parties. I should go to this side. Radical left-wing parties. You know, this one, we got the Green Party. There is the Socialist Party. You've got the Social Democrats Party. And they will all join forces so that when they need to make a coalition to elect a prime minister or to have a majority in their House of Commons or whatever it will be, then they will agree to vote together on things so that they can actually get things done. There's the possibility that this is exactly what's happening here. Now, we don't have a strong libertarian presence in Congress. I think maybe there's like one or two. But when it comes to electing a president, it could really make a big difference. Now, Carolyn Leavitt is a spokesperson for President Trump. She confirmed that this stop is on President Trump's agenda. He said, if libertarians join me and the Republican Party, where we have many libertarian views, the election won't even be close. We cannot have another 4 years of death, destruction, and incompetence. We will work together and we will win. The theme for the 2024 Libertarian National Convention is become ungovernable. I have to say, that resonates with me. And President Trump is leading Joe Biden. You already know this because you were here yesterday and you saw me go through all of the numbers. When you include RFK Jr. and Cornel West and Jill Stein in there, they didn't ever include a national libertarian president mentioned in that stack up. So let's say that with third party candidates, President Trump still beats Joe Biden. I don't know that they're even asking libertarians who they would vote for in those situations. It depends on where they got the numbers. It depends on where they got the respondents. I think that President Trump's lead is going to just be astronomical in comparison to any of those other candidates if we can join forces and create a coalition between libertarians and Republicans. What do you guys say? You think that's terrible? Oh, you're saying my impression of Donald Trump. Oh, don't worry. I don't do a good Donald Trump. I will tell you that. I do a good foghorn leghorn. I said. That's about as good as it gets. I'm not a good Donald Trump impersonator. Yes. So, right here, we have a chair of the National Libertarian Party, who is contemplating where they stand in America. For 50 years, we've been trying to get our candidates on the main stage with major party POTUS candidates, and we finally succeeded in bringing one to our stage. We will do everything in our power to use this incredible opportunity to advance the message of liberty. I love it. That's from Angela McCardle. I'm behind it 100%. Let us join forces with the Libertarian Party, guys. Let us join forces. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the radical left protests that are happening on campuses all around the country. Actually, before we do, let's take a break for the second half of the show. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the No Fee for Life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that No Fee for Life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092, and when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. All right, guys. So I saw somebody in the chat. I drove by the protests on Fordham University not long ago. Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about those in just a moment. I was actually just looking up whether or not the Libertarian National Convention will be broadcast. Hold on. I was also going to text a friend who was a Libertarian candidate. Who will be on stage? Let's see. 2024 National Convention. It's May 24th through the 26th. So I think, you know, it's likely that there will be probably footage from that day, but I doubt that it's going to be like broadcast live or anything like that. But, I'll reach out to them, guys, and I'll reach out to my friend who was a Libertarian candidate, and we'll see if I can't get any more specific information for you. So obviously with these protests going on, we've been talking about it. I've been very clear. I believe that there's at least a presence within the crowd of paid agitators, paid agent provocateurs. But there's a lot of just dummies out there as well, vacant, empty vessels who are showing up to protest the latest thing because they've been told that, you know, apartheid bad, Palestine good. We got to get out there and free Palestine, and we're going to do it by taking over the lunch hall at Columbia University. We must demand that Columbia demand a ceasefire. Just kind of ridiculous demands that they're making. But so President Trump was on Hannity last night. He called in. Lisa and I listened to it, and he mentioned that there were paid agitators, paid protesters that were in the crowd. And he said, you know, you've got these people with signs that are all exactly the same. True. You got people with the same tents. True. Everybody's got masks on. True. And this is clearly not an organic thing that we're seeing. I mean, you know, we've seen the evidence. I've actually shown it. I've exposed people here on the channel that were actually creating shields, that were creating signs, that were pulling up in U-Hauls and passing them out during the Summer of Love. Summer of Love 2.0 is what we're seeing right now. So President Trump on Truth Social this morning, he made another comment about it. And he said, do you think the radical left lunatics that are causing all of the chaos at our colleges and universities are doing so in order to take the focus away from our southern border, where millions of people, many from prisons and mental institutions, are pouring into our country? Just asking. I think that is likely. Now, the Daily Beast is positing President Trump's discussion about paid agitators and the idea that this is some sort of a distraction. You know, I mean, it's amazing how quickly they have responded with force when it's happening on college campuses. But the southern border issue is overwhelming the entire country, and they're just sitting on their thumbs. You know, I mean, spinning around pretty as you please. They got no problems with it. But now they are creating this chaos on university campuses, and it's causing everybody to focus on that. Now, what I thought was really interesting is that on a video that was taken in New York City at Columbia University actually exposed one of those paid agent provocateurs. She's called a professional protest consultant, and she was on video at Columbia University yesterday. Her name is Lisa Fithian. She's 63 years old. She's got a long history of showing up at these protests and essentially creating a big problem for the authorities in those areas. So the New York City Police Department released this video, which showed the protest consultant, Lisa Fithian, who has been seen on social media videos actually instructing the mob of protesters and telling them what to do as they were taking over Hamilton Hall at Columbia University on this past Monday. Now, Eric Adams actually spoke about it. He says, what should have been a peaceful protest, it has basically been co-opted by professional outside agitators. I love it that even Eric Adams is talking about this. We were extremely cautious about releasing our intel information because our goal was to ensure the safety of the students, the faculty, and without destruction to property. We have sounded the alarm several times before about external actors who attempted to hijack this private protest. That's exactly what has happened. Let's go ahead and take a look at this footage. And if you don't know who Lisa Fithian is, well, then you will find out very shortly. We might have a commercial. Yep, we got a commercial. Let me get past it.
At Georgia Cyber Academy, we deliver a free online education designed especially for your child's unique needs. Our live class.
Wow, this is a long one.
Students in grades K through 12 to interact with certified teachers and learn through an engaging online curriculum. Your child will receive a fully accredited, tuition-free education in a space that's comfortable and safe for
7 seconds until the ad is done.
Bring school to you.
And Eliza Jane, they actually did kind of bring it to him.
Right, we wanted to learn more about that woman.
Here she is.
Had a run-in with. So here's another interaction with her.
1, 2, 3, 4.
That's Lisa Fithian, 63 years old, and a professional protest consultant. Yeah, is that on LinkedIn? Who's been arrested more than 80 times. Badge of honor for her. Her causes range from Occupy Wall Street, snore, to climate change, bore, and the current Free Palestine. Yes, they want more. Now, she's been training this activist generation for years, and last night she was caught instructing students what to do.
I can't help you guys. You guys can help me.
I can't help you guys. She's like, you just do what I say, so I won't get in trouble. I don't want to get arrested.
You gotta flip it, I think.
Joining me now, Ira Stoll, founder and editor of editors.com. Ira, moments before this interview.
So my point here is that this is no conspiracy theory. This is nothing radical that President Trump and even Eric Adams is saying. These professional protesters show up at these events. They organize them and they essentially direct the crowd. All it takes is just a select handful of agent provocateurs and professional protesters to direct a crowd of empty vessels who are willing to do whatever they tell them to do because they want to be part of the thing. Now, last night, the NYPD ended up raiding that encampment that we showed you yesterday here on the program. And it did end up getting a little heated. We've got some video footage of the police showing up and breaking in with their tactical gear on. Here we go. The raid is beginning. Get in there, boys. That's so funny. I was just saying shame yesterday, and now they're actually doing it. All right, they're kind of annoying, so I'm going to turn this down a little bit because I don't really care what they say. Get them, boys! Get them, boys! All right, so really not much of a breakdown there. Now, here is the police being forced to enter through the windows that these protesters had gone in through earlier. We're going to give them a show of overwhelming force, boys. I can just see them in there cowering. This is our building. Come on. Come on. Get them. Get in there. Take them out. Take them out. Okay. Now, after that, after they were kicked out, one of these protesters who was, they were actually part of the group that actually took over the building. He came out and he was yelling, telling the police to just, let him go. He said, it's finals week. I've got to take off. I've got studying to do. Let's go ahead and watch this. It's finals. Can I go home?
They just barricaded us.
Oh, my fucking God.
You're left.
No fucking way. Fuck you. It's finals. Can I go home?
Yeah, hopefully they didn't let her go home. Hopefully they forced her to stick around and end up going to jail for at least a little bit. So after everything was broken up at Columbia, another encampment sprung up, not organically, at Fordham University. This is just a couple of hours after the cops, and it wasn't just Columbia. There was a couple of other spots where the cops had to show up and kick them out. But Fordham University is interesting because that's where Donald Trump went for 1 year, and Anthony Fauci actually graduated from here. It's a Jesuit university. So they showed up at Fordham, and they did the same thing in the middle of the night. And they set up their tents, they went inside the building, and they created what they called a Gaza Solidarity Encampment. Now, the officers who raided Columbia to this point have not... Yes, those are the most expensive schools in the nation, Hazel. That's correct. They have not, to my knowledge, actually come in and raided Fordham University. But here is some photographs from inside. Oh, shoot. Hold on. I got to get rid of this freaking ad. Here you can see they've got signs up and lots of poster board. Look at the same exact green tents. Remember, these guys all went to Moose Jaw at the same time, and they all picked up the tents at the same time. Here's some video of the Gaza Solidarity Camp. Everybody inside's wearing a mask, probably because they're the ones being paid. And here is a number of students who spray painted and splashed paint on a New York Police Department vehicle. No, you won't. You're not doing anything from Fordham University in New York.
Thank you.
So I saw a quote from Patrice Cullors, the founder of Black Lives Matter, and she was speaking to a group, and she said that, well, her message was that Palestine is this generation's South Africa. And I don't know. I don't know that that's the case. I mean, this is, I think, a little bit more complicated than that. But I can tell you what happened to South Africa after apartheid ended and they handed over control to the South Africans, like to the native South Africans. I mean, it became a country where corruption was endemic and all rules of decorum in society have completely broken down. You've got the Dutch population, the white population being murdered and their farms being stolen. You've got rolling blackouts because drug addicts will steal the copper right out of the ground. Here's the tents being set up. Brand new tents. You can see the plastic. There was a fruit fly. I think I got him. Anyways, you're doing a good job, kid. You're going to free Palestine from the interior of your college's lobby.
A farmer from Texas stunned the world with a...
No, okay. We'll go ahead and skip that. But we've also got footage from UCLA, where things got just a little bit more rowdy than they did at either Fordham or at Columbia. There was only about 100 there was protesters and then there were also counter-protesters. So you had the group that was pro-Palestine, then you had another group that was pro-Israel. And the pro-Palestine, the Palestine Solidarity Encampment, they're calling it Palestine instead of calling it Gaza like they do in New York. There was about 100 pro-Israeli vigilantes that raided the Palestinian encampment and they basically went to war. Tearing everything down. You can see they're fighting over stuff. I don't know who's who. I couldn't tell you who's on what side. Free our hostages. That guy must be pro-Israel. You hear the music? Tear it down. Anyways, just total chaos at UCLA. Yeah, okay, I can tell that the guy with the scarf on is definitely pro-Palestine. The music. USA. Ooh, they got fireworks too. Okay, all right. We got some more video right here. This is additional fireworks. No idea who's shooting him at who. No idea what's going on there at UCLA. But anyways, they ended up having to shoot tear gas into the crowds. It all broke out right around 11 o'clock last night, and it continued on until early this morning. But after the barricades were torn down, both sides ended up inside the encampment. They actually got into a fistfight. It was just like a melee free-for-all. And there was a statement that was released around 4 a.m., saying that protesters inside the encampment had said the university has not done enough to protect students, and they're calling on the university to meet their demands. Which demands? I'm not sure. Because it seems like the pro-Israel students are demanding that they be protected because, I mean, the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine students are, like, beating them up. And so, you know, this is just a natural extension of that. You've got two sides of warring factions coming together in a foreign land and going at each other. And it is just absolute insanity that's taking place right now. Now, UCLA have issued a statement, and they said that this encampment is unlawful, and they had actually requested law enforcement investigate who had set it up, and then, of course, investigate any allegations of violence as well. But apparently things didn't get real bad until the pro-Israel, the counter-protesters, came in as well. Now, down here in Florida, we are not immune from this. Law enforcement officials actually also used tear gas. You can see they've got tear gas canisters that they're shooting off right here. And they shot them into the pro-Gaza, pro-Palestine, anti-Israel protesters. They gave them a warning because they had also set up an encampment similar to what we're seeing. I guess you've got like 20 or more colleges all around the country just, you know, all of a sudden have set these encampments up. And so they gave them a warning. They didn't leave, and they shot tear gas at them. And from what I understand, that worked. That worked, and that was able to get them out of there. Let's go ahead and take a look right here.
The encampment has 5 minutes to disperse, or else they're going to use tear gas.
Revolution.
The demonstrators were warned about this, so. But there they are preparing.
Yep. You, what do they say? What do they call that?
See, as you can see, the more you f*** around, the more you're going to find out.
All right, so now here is the tear gas getting shot into the crowd. And as you can see, shields are not much good against canisters of tear gas because obviously it's in the air. This looks like fun.
Disperse, disperse.
Ow, my eyes. Somebody get me some milk. I bet you they like milk now.
That was easy.
Look at that. Green tents. More green tents. I want to see somebody crying. I mean, I know it's sadistic, but... here come the shock troops.
On behalf of Assistant Chief Martin Peter to the South Florida Police Department, this assembly has been declared... an unlawful assembly in accordance with Chapter 870 Florida State Statute. You have been given a lawful order to disperse. You have refused to follow this lawful order. At this time, please consider yourself under arrest.
Aha! Well, coming to get him.
Or other enforcement actions which could result in threats of injury which may occur.
Yes. So they got arrested. They got gassed.
This assembly has been deemed unlawful.
Also, Northwestern University. This one's a little bit different. They've actually caved to the demands from the pro-Palestinian protesters. What are those demands? Full ride scholarships to Palestinian students and guaranteed faculty jobs for Palestinian academics. You heard that right. So this is a university in the liberal suburban Chicago enclave of Evanston, Illinois. And in order to get this protest to end, they announced that they were going to be giving concessions to the Hamas supporters who had taken over this campus so that they could end the protest, end the encampment, and then everybody could get back to school. Now, this is no joke. They're going to be giving full ride scholarships to Palestinian students. They're guaranteeing faculty jobs to Palestinian academics. And they're also going to be providing special housing for Muslim students. And they're also going to they're going to advise employers not to rescind job offers for students who engaged in this protest because they're saying it's protected speech under the First Amendment. One of the First Amendment students recently assaulted a student journalist who was attempting to take a video of the encampment. Now, as soon as your speech transitions from spoken language to physical violence, it's no longer protected by the First Amendment. But obviously, they have caved to these demands. And so I wonder if the person or the company that had offered a job previously is going to feel like they have to hire this person. I mean, obviously, they don't have to. But if they don't, well, then the Palestinian protesters are going to probably put them on notice. So, the obvious thing that's been done here is that these kids have proven that revolution works. Revolution works. So the university put out this statement. We have reached an agreement with a group of students and faculty who represent the majority of the protesters on Deering Meadow to bring the demonstration into compliance with university rules and policies. This agreement represents a sustainable and de-escalated path forward and enhances the safety of all members of the Northwestern community while providing space for free expression that complies with university rules and policies. The agreement was forged by the hard work of students. She is just going deep on them. And faculty working closely with members of the administration to help ensure that the violence and escalation we have seen elsewhere does not happen here at Northwestern. Blah, 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 blah. They gave in to the demands of terrorists. Now, speaking of terrorists, I mean, I don't just use that term as hyperbole. Here on camera in New York at Columbia University, we actually have a picture of the wife of a known terrorist who was there participating. I don't know how deeply she was involved, if she just showed up or if she was helping to direct, but she's married to a terrorist. And I have to say that when you lay with dogs, you get fleas. And I find it difficult to believe that her terrorist husband has different views than what she does. So this is actually coming from CBS News in New York. A reporter by the name of Ali Bowman had tweeted out that the wife of this known terrorist was at the Columbia University campus. So she notified, she was notified by sources that the wife of this terrorist was seen at Columbia University. Sami Al-Aryan, this is a person who tweeted, this is the terrorist who tweeted out this picture. My wife, Nala, in solidarity with the brave and very determined Columbia University students. So what did Sami Al-Aryan do? Well, he was indicted in February 2003 on 17 counts under the Patriot Act. A jury acquitted him of 8 acts, and then they were deadlocked on the remaining 9. So he later struck a plea deal and admitted to one of the remaining charges in exchange for being released and deported. He was sent back to Turkey. He was accused of aiding terrorists. So not exactly certain what type of aid he was providing, whether it was material, financial, whether he was just helping them get around the city, maybe driving them from spot to spot to determine what they were going to blow up next. He was also charged with racketeering for the Palestine Islamic Jihad. So very appropriate that his wife would be here at this protest. She's definitely a Muslim. She's definitely a Muslim. I'm just saying she's probably a terrorist herself. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Funny how the Patriot Act is null and void with the illegals and all of these domestic terrorists. That's right. Let's see. Thank you to Judy the Lady Pug and Sean Joe for a cookie in a can and a cookie from Judy. All right. So I've mentioned fractal technology to you guys a couple of times in the past because they did some really deep dives on helping to figure out networks and methodologies for election fraud to be put in place in a couple of different states. They've done some broad reporting. And it's kind of thick. In order to understand it, you gotta, you know, dive in deep on it. I've actually invited them on the show so that we can talk about it, because if we take 2 hours and I'm getting the information directly from the source, I think it'll be great for you guys. Perhaps you'll be able to get a better understanding of their information and how best to implement it in your own research and in your own efforts to try to show people that yes, fraud is real and it's a major, major problem. So what they've done next is something that the left has been doing to us for a very long time. I go back to 2016 and there are all these maps, these conservative network maps, and they showed how different people were connected to other people, how different Twitter accounts were connected to other Twitter accounts and news organizations. And then, you know, they would have like me as part of the crazy podcasters. They've come from a number of different sources. And usually, I mean, they're put out by, large, left-wing NGOs, and they're used as a tool to try to expose and destroy people who are working on the right side of history. At least that's how I see it. Well, Fractal Technology has now also uncovered the central nervous system of the left, which details those NGOs funding these various networks of left-wing groups that are, in fact, working on the wrong side of history. Now, if you go back 3 years ago, Sheriff Clark of Wisconsin, you guys know him, he's totally based, he's awesome, he asked the team at Fractal to review the Wisconsin voter rolls, and that was what resulted in the Fractal election management application. That's what we spoke about before. It showed all of these anomalies that are current, that are found with our current relational database. And they're not a political organization. They are apolitical. They're just tech geeks. But they saw that there was a problem with our election system, and they said, hey, you know, we'd like to be involved in exposing it. Dawn Sclater said they did a protest on Monday in Richmond, Virginia at the VCU campus, and the police dispersed the crowd, and they have not come back. Shout out to the RVA police. Great work. Great work. Thank you very much, Dawn, for your donation. Appreciate you. So the team at Fractal and 26 different state groups that they worked with obviously understand the importance of cleaning up the voter rolls, because if the voter rolls are as thick and clogged with dead and ghost voters as they were in 2020, then 2024 is going to be difficult for us to overcome. So they've been able to expose a lot. And because of their work, there have been some efforts to help clean up our voter rolls and to fix our election systems at the local level. They have also put together this latest model, which details that NGO funding map that I mentioned. And it shows the contributions that are being pushed, the sort of dark money NGOs that operate under the cover of these interconnected financial networks. So it's a bit like a hydra, you know? I mean, like, there is a central body, but then there's many heads branching off in different directions. That makes it just a little bit more difficult to determine who is doing what, and people tend to get focused on, like, one thing or another, but you've got to think broadly when it comes to this stuff. And so they've put together a new report entitled the FEC Contribution System. And what it's done is identify every contribution from every person or group to every federal level candidate for the last 50 years. That's roughly 680 million records. So clearly it's massive. But this is the first time that any contribution in the FEC database is visible to an average person like us from their phone. You can also count on, in the near future, they're going to be exposing the state databases, and you'll be able to look in your own state and see who the political movers and shakers are getting their money through. Now, when they delivered the FEC database, they recognized that there were a lot of contributions in kind. Contributions in kind are things that are donations that are not hard cash, but can be considered to have value. It's also a little bit difficult to track those in-kind donations. So that's like, you know, perhaps like funding lawfare efforts, voter drives, and then, of course, on top of that, making illegal contributions that they're not supposed to be making anyways. Now, they worked with groups in California, Wisconsin, and Texas, and the Fractal Dark Money Tracking System was born. So this system, as they have displayed for us in a demo, connects all these NGOs, the 501Cs, and hundreds of thousands of other organizations who make up the body of that hydra I mentioned. And this week, the system came online, it became available, and they actually found something pretty unique in a major swing state. So working with the election integrity team they worked with before, they identified one of the largest voter registration organizations. And guess what? It turns out it's directly financed by a Chinese NGO. So following their success in identifying that, they downloaded all the information for most of those major leftist NGOs within that state. And then within minutes, they were able to make hundreds of connections to other organizations. So this system now has identified a dark money network You going through all of these non-governmental organizations, many of them have a common attribute, like an employee, a director, money flow out, money flow in, a common address, an address that's nearby, phone number, or other attributes as well. And they say that the results are so interconnected that artificial intelligence queries have been brought in to trace money across these connections. And the intricacy of these networks is simply breathtaking. Let's go ahead and take a look at the video that they've prepared. And hopefully, well, it's 17 minutes, so we're not going to watch the whole thing. But this is just a brief demonstration of the information, and it's presented in the form of a database. So you can go ahead and take a look at it when I share this link with you, and I encourage you to go ahead and check it out. And hopefully I will hear from them very soon. Look at this. This is great. This is like a 3D visualization of the network itself.
What the galaxy view is you can see me move things around here. And again, I'm using advanced quantum technology. Could never do this with conventional technology. This is a single organization called the Open Society Policy Center. It gave money to a group of organizations who then gave money to a second group of organizations. And these are all of the connected entities. So you can see as I'm hovering over these dots, they're probably too small for you to even to see there's a dot there. But as I'm hovering over them, it is showing me who they are. Now again, we are looking at thousands of connections. You could never, ever with conventional technology.
So this visualization right here, I've mentioned a program called The Brain before, and The Brain is a 2D visualization that has this same sort of kind of structure. So what you'll have is like a central organization, and the nodes will come off of it, and they will connect to other organizations, and then every other organization that one connects to, then it connects around. And you can kind of like roll through it. It's almost like a map, but you can move it around and you can like zoom in on places. And it's a unique way to visualize connections. And I have found it really useful in the past. This, however, is so much more detailed. I mean, this is three dimensional and I've never seen anything like it, but I think that it is a highly valuable tool to actually be able to see what these people are doing.
And this is how they're all connected. Now, the only way to be able to traverse this galaxy is to be able to do so with technology that's quantum-based technology. And we're able to do it. And we're working with governments in various states.
Hear that?
Showing them the dark money, in some cases illegal money, coming in to impact the 2024 election.
That's so vital. And what's incredible about that is that if it wasn't for the fact that they told us, we would have absolutely no idea. I really, really hope that the governments that they're speaking with are taking this seriously and are going to do something about it. Obviously, knowing who has donated to who and who's accepting money from who, that's key, because it tells them who they can trust and who they can't give the information to, because it will likely get buried because this Chinese non-governmental organization has already put money in their pocket. Scott says, I'm here mowing the lawn. I'm sure Salty Crackhead will talk about the O'Keefe CIA video. I'm definitely going to talk about the O'Keefe CIA video here in just a moment. I just wanted to get to this point right here. So on that note, let me share with you guys the Substack for Omega 4 America. I've passed this out before, but this is where the people at Fractal are publishing their work and where you can check it out yourself. So I just want to get that passed out to you. And like I said, I've reached out to them. I hope that they'll be willing to come on the show. I'd like to, you know, hear about their methodologies and the various things they've discovered. And again, how we can help use it in our daily lives for our own research and investigations. So there we go. I love it. I love it. I love it too, Eliza Jane. All right. So let's go ahead and check out James O'Keefe's latest expose on the CIA. Man, it's 30 minutes long. Holy jeez.
So how long have you been working at the CIA?
Since 2008.
Okay.
I also worked at NSA, Jeff. And then I had a TSSCI with a full-scale polygraph. And that means that I'm fully vetted.
Amjad Fasisi shows her his CIA identification badge.
No, where does it say?
Does it?
Hey, that's the point.
That's the point.
What's CMC?
China Mission Center, darling. That's my mission center.
Gotcha.
Amjad talks about how the CIA kept information from Trump.
Like working.
We kept information from him.
Say one more time.
We kept information from him.
From Trump?
Yes. He's an idiot. And there are certain people that would give him a high-level overview, but never give him any details. You know why? It's called leak those details.
Amjad Fasisi states a higher-ups within the intel community, including CIA directors Mike Pompeo and Gina Haspel, and the upper levels of their staffs colluded to withhold information from sitting President Trump.
So the agencies kind of like all got together and said, we're not going to tell Trump.
The higher-ups.
The higher-ups.
We put it this way, the executive staff.
I was muted. Thank you, guys. I hear you now. So I was saying that these high-level executive positions, this is exactly who President Trump needs to replace as soon as he comes in. You can't have the same sort of DC elite players that have been there for ages, because they're already going to be compromised and they're going to be loyal to the agency. I hope that every single one of them that President Trump brings in has never worked in government before, or certainly never worked in DC before, because they need to be like him. They need to have a business mindset, and they can't be like what we've done before. I mean, we saw what happened with those people, and it's not a good thing.
Ordnance.
Like, what titles are they?
Director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA.
Yes.
Are you guys still watching him?
I would say yes.
It sounds like you guys are still watching him and his team.
Of course we are. Nothing goes by without somebody watching.
Amjad Fasisi also states as fact that Trump is under constant surveillance and even claims they are spying on his ex-wife.
And we also have people that monitor.
Wow.
So you guys had human sources.
How do you think we get information?
Like wiretapping? How did you guys figure out that Trump was colluding with the Russians? Did you guys use... So the intel community was able to use FISA to spy on Trump and his team. And that's how we found out that he was colluding with the Russians. Was it the CIA or the NSA that spied on Trump?
It should be all of them.
So you're saying that your agency,
he's not going to get it. I'll be elected again. I've done the math. It's impossible. We have a choice here. Do we want our democracy or do we want some fucking madman?
Yeah.
He wants to be a dictator.
The irony of him saying that. The irony, it's the CIA that wants to be dictators. They want to control this country and install their own puppet rather than allowing the American people to elect whom they want to elect. We want President Trump back. We do not want our leadership dictated to us by an overseas intelligence agency that is not even supposed to be doing anything here. They're spying on Trump still. I believe it.
No, we can't do that. And then I worked at NSA for a year.
Okay.
And I was doing some really cool stuff.
J.D. Irish says, what agent would show his credentials to some unknown girl? We have no idea how long they've been hanging out and seeing each other. But you can look this guy up, And his LinkedIn actually showed that, yes, that was in fact what he did. Clearly, he's not a very good CIA agent, or maybe he's just that arrogant. Maybe they think that they can get away with it, and they're going to, and so it doesn't matter. He'll show off his badge simply because he's going to get laid.
The Office of Director of National Intelligence. So I helped them stand their insider threat program. They trusted me to set that up.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I don't have anyone to tell.
Yeah, yeah. This conversation didn't happen tonight.
Of course.
I get strictly denied.
Yeah.
I'm James O'Keefe reporting on location outside the CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. Right behind me, the CIA, the police officers here.
We figured we'd come up and just say hello.
No problem. We're allowed to stand here?
100%.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely everything you guys are doing is 100% okay from where you're at right now.
Okay.
If we proceed forward of the crosswalk,
yeah,
that's where we may have to come up and have another discussion.
Yeah, we're going to stand right on this sidewalk.
100%. Absolutely.
Okay. I appreciate it. All right. Very good. Thank you.
Just a moment ago, officers coming out from Langley, Virginia to warn me not to set foot across that line right there. It's obviously dangerous for us to be here. It's dangerous for us to do this reporting. But thanks to a brave OMG undercover swiper, we present to you the O'Keefe Media Group blockbuster investigation inside the CIA.
Let me just say once more, I mentioned it the other day when I brought up the recent claims that were made against James O'Keefe by former FBI official, what's his name, Kyle Serafin. I think that was a conveniently timed attack, probably to distract from the content of this report right here.
Ago, journalists Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger released a story making several claims, including the CIA illegally mobilizing foreign intelligence agencies to target Trump advisors before the 2016 election. Barack Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, identified 26 Trump associates for the intelligence community to target and bump, make contact with, or manipulate. And what bumping means is literally bumping into people, making contact with them, communicating with them, and spreading misinformation to divert their attention. The U.S. intelligence community also asked its foreign allies, United Kingdom, Australia, Italy, and the Israeli Mossad, to target these 26 members of Trump's team going all the way back to March of 2016, well before the 2016 presidential election. Multiple instances that the U.S. intelligence officials likely broke laws against spying and election interference. Former CIA Director Gina Haspel blocked the release of a binder that included evidence that may have identified her role in the Trump-Russia collusion hoax. This activity was illegal, both because U.S. law prohibits such intelligence gathering unless authorized by a Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, that's FISA warrant, and because the weaponization of the intelligence community for political purposes constitutes election interference. The first of the intelligence community's surveillance targets appeared to be a former Defense Intelligence Agency, that's DIA head, and would-be Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. Another target was staffer George Papadopoulos. In 2018, HPSCI, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, released a 243-page report clearing Trump of allegations that he and his team colluded with Russia to interfere with the 2016 election. However, sources close to the House Permanent Select Committee, led by Adam Schiff, covertly continued working out of a small room in Langley, and he had access to raw logs and communications from agencies like the CIA and the National Security Council. You're probably wondering, how did the CIA respond to this? Well, former CIA Director John Brennan under Barack Obama did not respond, nor did the Justice Department. The U.S. FBI and U.K.'s equivalent to the NSA, that's the GCHQ, however, responded that wiretapping the president-elect claims were nonsense, they were utterly ridiculous, and should be ignored. What's most interesting about that is Taibbi and Schellenberger didn't even ask about wiretapping. The FBI and GCHQ just included it in their response. Even more interesting is, how did the mainstream media report it? The mainstream narrative was that the UK government GCHQ, again, that's the United Kingdom's NSA equivalent, was the whistleblower. in the investigation into the alleged ties between Trump and the Russian government, and other narratives that have all turned out to be false. As it turns out, not only was Taibbi and Schellenberger's reporting accurate, we can now provide proof on camera, thanks to one of our OMG undercover American swiper citizen investigative journalists. Using the dating app Bumble and hidden cameras, our OMG journalists set up a series of meetings.
Let me just tell you guys a little bit how Bumble works. Every single one of these investigations has been successful because the target believed they were going to get lucky. Now, the gay guys, that's easy. They all want to get laid, okay? You meet on Tinder, they're like, oh, yeah, of course, I'm totally going to get laid. But Bumble, for a straight guy, it's like Tinder. It's like, you know, any of the other dating apps. But as a man, you cannot reach out to women. Women have to find you attractive and solicit you to take them out. So for a guy on Bumble, there's going to be a little bit more excitement or, I guess, assuredness that you're not going to go out with a girl unless it's a sure thing. So I think that kind of explains a little bit why this guy was not so difficult to get information out of.
Phone calls with Amjad Fasisi, a CIA contractor with top-level government security clearances. Now, as it turns out, the corruption at the CIA, FBI, and Department of Justice is probably even worse than you thought. And now you can see it with your own eyes.
We're reporting that Amjad Fasisi, a senior intelligence officer with a top-secret, sensitive, compartmentalized information clearance, has worked at the CIA for over a decade, and his knowledge and his position and access show he has a high-level awareness about the agency, its current culture, and how it has been corrupted by bureaucratic politics, and how it has over the years and continues to use its powers to weaponize the CIA to spy on President Trump.
Let's meet Amjad Fasisi. Amjad Fasisi is a CIA contractor working with Deloitte. He has a high-level, top-secret government security clearance and works within the CIA and its China Mission Center on cyber operations. According to the CIA's website, the China Mission Center was formed to address the global challenge posed by the People's Republic of China that cuts across all of the CIA's mission areas. Through his work over the years with the CIA, NSA, and various defense contractors, Amjad Fasisi is well connected to high-level government officials. What you're about to see in this video is truly incredible. Amjad Fasisi divulges on camera that the directors of the CIA, including Gina Haskell and Mike Pompeo, and other high-ranking members of the intelligence community, purposely colluded to withhold information from Donald Trump, then the sitting president of the United States. I greenlit the hidden camera date as we were initially under the impression that he was working for defense contractor Lockheed Martin. But during the first meeting, our American swiper noticed that Fasisi was in fact CIA, at which point our undercover investigation took on a whole new angle. Our brave American swiper citizen journalist cultivated a rapport with Fasisi, and from there, the rest is history.
I work in the intelligence community.
What do you do?
I work for the CIA.
You work for the CIA? What do you do for them?
I do cyber operations. I've been doing it for a long time.
How long have you worked there?
Oh, God. So I work for Deloitte, Deloitte Consultants.
Okay.
So I'm a contractor to the CIA. At Deloitte, but based out of the CIA.
Okay.
I also work at NSA, though.
And how long have you been at Deloitte?
Deloitte's two plus years. I've been for about 11. It's just kind of going in.
How many months
have you
been?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I work at a mission center.
What?
I work at a mission center at the agency. I am a program manager. I'm a program manager. I help the mission center across all the, across the entire enterprise. Everything.
Okay. After telling our undercover American swiper citizen journalist his role with the CIA, Amjad Fasisi shows her his CIA identification badge.
All right, so here you go.
Okay, let me see.
So, let's keep the screw
to run. Oh, I'm sorry. How long have you worked there?
So that was 2008. So that was the last picture update was 2013.
This is from 2013, which is
more than a decade ago. Wait, hold on. Where does it say this?
Does it?
Why is that?
It does. Why would it?
But how do people know? Oh, I guess. That's the point, right? That's the point.
That's the point.
Is there like a...
The United States seal.
It's the CIA?
No, the United States seal.
Oh, but there's no... It's not like a CIA seal.
No, we cannot do that.
What's CMC?
China Mission Center, darling.
Oh.
We want to do... Okay, I'm getting a little nervous now.
Okay. So this is the agent, your division.
That's my mission center.
Gotcha.
But do you believe me now?
Yes, this is very legit. I like it. Got it.
Because we have to go through training where, like, we leave a very low carbon cyber or internet or social media footprint.
Uh-huh.
I'm on LinkedIn.
Okay.
I'm on Facebook. Plain real name. And the company that I work for, that's it.
Does it say the CIA on your LinkedIn?
No, you can't do that. No.
They don't allow you guys to do that?
Oh, no.
Amjad Fasisi also describes how you obtain top secret clearance called TSSCI. TSSCI is a subset of top secret clearance and is required for access to highly sensitive information known as sensitive compartmented information, SCI. SCI is classified information concerning intelligent sources, methods, and other sensitive matters.
And then I have a TSSCI with a full scope polygraph. I put TSSCI full scope. That means that I'm fully vetted.
So how long have you been working at the CIA?
Since 2008.
Back when you were at Lockheed.
Correct. And then I worked at NSA for a year.
Okay.
And I was doing some really cool cyber stuff, which I cannot tell you about. And then I went back to the CIA in 2011. Then with the Northrop Grumman right down the street.
Okay.
Managed 80 cybersecurity practitioners. And then I went to the Office of Director of National Intelligence. So I helped them stand their insider threat program. They trusted me to set that up.
Yeah. What exactly is insider threat programs?
It's usually the biggest thing with insider threat is if somebody clicks on a link that they're not supposed to or whatever, and then they infect their entire network. So does that make any sense? So the biggest threat of all is the carelessness of people within your organization. So you put rules, governance rules, things that they have to follow, and so that they don't do anything stupid.
Not a week goes by without a news headline about potential medical supply shortages,
commercial
threats to our infrastructure, or power grid. And you remember what they pulled during the last company medical PWC
Pompeo
/OMG. That's TWC.health/OMG. That's TWC.health/OMG. And save $45 per kit today when you use code OMG. Amjad Fasisi states as fact that the higher-ups within the Intel community, including CIA directors Mike Pompeo and Gina Haspel, and the upper levels of their staffs colluded to withhold information from sitting President Trump.
You said that Mike Pompeo was working with the heads of the other intel agencies.
Mike Pompeo was a director of the CIA.
Right, and he was working with the heads of the other intel agencies to withhold information from Trump.
His predecessor, Gina Haspel, did.
So Gina was the one who withheld information from Trump?
And I believe Mike Pompeo did the same thing, too.
I believe so.
Amjad Fasisi states his fact that Trump would call Putin and tell him secret intelligence information.
He would give it away.
Yeah.
He would call Vladimir Putin and tell him. And it No, I'm being serious. You have me.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to give you a simplistic answer, but he's a fucking man.
So you think Gina and Mike Pompeo worked with the heads of the other to withhold information from Trump?
Yeah.
So the agencies kind of like all got together and said, we're not going to tell Trump.
The higher ups. We put it this way. The executive staff. We're talking about the director and his subordinates.
Okay.
And these are very smart people.
Like, what titles are they?
Director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA would keep.
Yes.
So if they decided to get.
It's up to him to share what he wants to share.
Yeah.
As a director.
How do you keep information away from Trump?
Give it to him.
But wouldn't he ask?
Amjad Fasisi also states as fact that Trump is under constant surveillance and even claims they are spying on his ex-wife. We are assuming Amjad is speaking of Marla Maples.
How did you guys figure out that Trump was colluding with the Russians? Did you guys use...
Just human intelligence. I can't give you a straight answer. I don't know. But we have human intelligence. And we also have people that monitor his life. Let's be smart about it.
Can I say that one more time? He likes to use what?
Burner phone.
What does that mean?
That means a prepaid phone card that's not attached to you. It's not on the network. It doesn't ping the
account. Like a dumb phone? Like a flip phone?
That's called a
button. I've had it with all my personal and private information being exposed and
best spied on Trump.
So it could be all of it.
So you guys had human sources.
Of course, and then we also have cyber sources. A lot of it. How do you think we get information?
Like wiretapping?
As though there is not already enough controversy around Israel, Amjad Fasisi, again, a high-level government contractor, states he doesn't trust Israel and they, quote, steal intelligence from us.
Like
for example, Israel, our ally.
Who? Israel, okay.
Israel, our ally.
Uh-huh.
I don't trust them, you know that, right? They steal shit from us.
Like what?
Information. So do we, by the way.
Of course.
So, like, what kind of information? Like weapons or?
Weapons, the enemy, stuff you don't want to kill.
So they're not really our friends.
Nobody's really pro weapons. Nobody.
So the intel community was able to use FISA to spy on Trump and his team. And that's how we found out that he was colluding with the Russians.
And as any good spy would do, Fasisi makes it clear that, quote, this conversation didn't happen.
This conversation didn't happen.
Of course.
I definitely deny it.
Yeah. That's so badass. Are you guys still watching him?
I would say yes.
Because the intel community is still monitoring him and spying on him.
It
sounds like you guys are still watching him and his team.
Of course we are. Nothing goes by without somebody watching.
Yeah.
Just rest assured, I promise.
Amjad Fasisi, a program manager contracted at the CIA, talks about how the CIA kept information from Trump. Amjad also discloses that the directors of the CIA would give Trump high-level overviews, but never give him any details. Fasisi also spills that all the intelligence agencies thought that President Trump was a, quote, fucking dumbass and would disclose information, unquote. When asked, how do you keep information from President Trump, our subject says, quote,
B. Moore says, how stupid can you be? You meet a woman and she only wants to talk about his job or he thinks he's so important. That's it. It's ego. All right. It's ego and hubris. He thinks he's going to get laid and he thinks she's interested in him and what he does. He's powerful because he's a CIA agent. He had the power to help bring down a president. Him and his organization kept information that was vital to the running of our country from the president of the United States. And they used their knowledge to fix the game and to destroy his administration and then get rid of him. And they're still spying on him and his ex-wife and probably all of his kids. And he thinks it's so cool because they're doing the good thing. So yes, yeah, that's never underestimate ego and hubris. People will allow things to slip out that are not supposed to because they like being made to feel like they're more important than they actually are.
We'll give it to him.
We kept information from him. Because we knew he'd fucking disclose
it. Wait, say it one more time.
We kept information from him.
From Trump?
Yes. He's an idiot. And there are certain people that would give him a high level overview, but never give him an idea. Do you know why? It's called leak kills people.
Do we have proof for that?
The irony of this guy spilling the beans to a woman he thinks he's on a date with, and he's complaining about President Trump. telling Putin something or other.
No, but we all believe because he's the biggest fucking idiot.
So you're saying that we, you, your agency, yeah, or
all,
CIA,
all, a lot of the agencies, yeah,
kept information away.
Not or, yes, because we knew that it was, we'd be careless with it.
Yeah.
Like store it in a pack shower.
So you guys would on purpose keep certain information away from Trump?
He's an idiot. He's an absolute idiot. He's an idiot. He has no idea.
So the generals or like...
Everybody.
Yeah, they would just not share anything with him.
We all did. We all thought he was fucking dumb.
Who's we?
All the intelligence agents.
In full-on bureaucratic elitist fashion, Amjad Fasisi describes the only people in the CIA that support Trump are rednecks that live in the sticks.
Oh, yeah.
And brainwashed stupid idiots.
Yeah.
There are some people that really do love him inside.
Like who? Are you kidding me?
Rednecks who live out in the middle of nowhere in the sticks.
Like, how would you describe those people who still support Trump, these, like, after what happened on brainwashed?
Brainwashed, stupid, illiterate.
Amjad Fasisi with the CIA states there is, quote, no way Trump will get elected again.
He's not going to get it. I'll be elected again. I've done the math. It's impossible.
Yeah.
But there are more of us than there are of them. We have a choice here. Do we want our democracy or do we want some fucking madman?
Yeah.
Must be a dictator.
Amjad Fasisi states as fact that the NSA,
just wait,
CIA, and other departments within the intel community don't trust each other, therefore don't share information.
Does the CIA work with the NSA?
No, because they're very territorial. Because they don't like sharing information. That is a fucking problem. We don't share information of the NSA has founded. We've gotten a lot of human CIA personnel killed.
Those were bad actors. If the NSA got CIA killed, it's because they were traitors. That's my take.
So the CIA is rare. Well, what did they share with the NSA?
So the NSA is careless.
Yeah.
Possible violations of the law here include obstruction of justice by deception, conspiracy to obstruct, false statements, that's 18 U.S.C. 1001. The actions of the directors and the executive staff of the CIA might even trigger violations of the Espionage Act.
Ah.
Some of these trigger felony provisions, other trigger misdemeanors. That depends upon how serious the prosecutor thinks the violation is. Depends upon what his exact contracting status was, within which federal silo he really was, other specific regulations specific to the agency he worked under, CIA, etc., may be triggered, which could include things like insubordination or engaging in misrepresentation. He has no problem divulging all this to a strange woman after a few cocktails, but clammed up when I asked him.
We had a chance to review your badge, and it's the one that you says you worked for the CIA. And you know, Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi did some reporting about the information that was held from Trump. It's actually a crime for the director of the CIA to withhold information from Trump.
I have no idea. Everything is just unbeknownst to me. I don't know. I have no intel. I have no knowledge.
You said that we, quote, keep information from him, Trump.
I
you didn't say that.
I did not.
Quote, we kept information from Trump. He's a fucking idiot, quote unquote. Those are your words.
Well, I can have an opinion, but I don't know.
Can I talk? Can I sit down and talk to you for a minute about this, please?
No.
I think it's important that I get your comment.
Everything is untrue.
It's untrue.
I don't know. I have no idea. Why would I know?
Why would you know? Do you work? Do you work at CIA?
I can't tell you that.
Do you work at Deloitte?
Yes.
Okay. Are you a program manager at Deloitte?
Yes.
Do you work at the Chinese Mission Center in Langley, Virginia?
I can't tell you that.
You can't tell me that. Have you told other people that?
I can't tell you that either.
And stay tuned for follow-up, including my conversation and interaction with Amjad Fasisi, released soon. The fact that our intelligence agencies withheld high-level information to a sitting U.S. president post...
All right, I'd say that's pretty damning. Who's the fucking idiot now, Amjad? Who's the idiot now? Oh, I love it. All right, guys, we're going to call it there. Let me say thank you to Trisha. She says, I worry about the reporter's safety after these videos come out. So once the information is out there, they're protected. Because the problem is when you have information and you hold on to it and you do not divulge it, they can kill you before it gets out, and that's when you're in danger. All right. And he didn't even get laid either. Oh, that's so beautiful. So beautiful. Justice being served. I hope that that guy and I hope that the entire CIA gets cut off at the knees. All right. Thank you so much to Candylicious, who says, great Wednesday, Patriots. Thank you to Sean Joe for dropping another cookie. Thank you to 315 Russ, who says, so Bumble is being used as a MAGA honey hole. Awesome. Yeah, it is. FilterDog1, thank you for the can. Zeta Anon, thank you for the fleet. He says, three-letter agencies are the most desperate mother effers ever. It's honestly pathetic and hilarious. Zeta Anon also dropped a can and said, we are being subjugated by absolute pansies. It blows my mind. Yeah, for him to say that there's more of us than there are of them, there isn't. There truly isn't, all right? You have presided over the destruction of this country, and you have pushed the majority of America over to our side. There is definitely more of us than there are of you. There may be more of you working at the three-letter agencies, maybe more clowns than there are patriots, but not here in the real world, not out in the sticks, Amjad. I'm proud to be a redneck Trump supporter. Thank you very much to Sean Joe for dropping the cookie as well. Also, you guys, I saw that FedCure had said that Joe Biden has rescheduled marijuana. Don't forget about the support for little Langdon.
See, as you can see.
Oops. I forgot to turn that off. Don't forget, if you can help out Langdon, if perhaps you are a blood type match and you want to see if maybe there's something that you can do. But anyways, that is for Amjad right there.
See, as you can see, the more you f*** around, the more you're going to find out.
And he did. He has found out. Okay, so... okay, and let me see. What was I going to show you? Oh, yeah. Let's take a look for marijuana reschedule. What did they reschedule it as? Well, DOJ plans to reschedule. So, yeah, so right now it's on the same level as, like, cocaine and heroin and stuff. So they'll just make it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3. They got to go through the whole rulemaking process that I mentioned to you at the beginning of the show. And you can bet that they'll be really public about this, unlike what they did at the DHS with that other program we mentioned. All right, you guys, thank you so much to everybody for hanging out with us today. I'll be live again tonight at 9 p.m. with Brad on Badlands Media for Altered State. You can bet we're probably going to be talking about the latest report from James O'Keefe blowing the lid off of CIA incompetence and illegal actions by the three-letter agencies to withhold information vital to the national security of the United States of America from a duly elected president of that same nation. Thank you for being here. I'll be back tomorrow at 4, excuse me, I will be live at 4 p.m. on Taking It Back on Badlands, and then I'll be live here at 5 p.m. for another episode of Red Pill News Live. Until that time, good luck, God bless, thank you everyone, and we'll see you next time.